Hello, welcome to Wombats and Music. This is your host, Harry Baya, and I bring you Wombats and Music Monday nights at 7 and Saturdays at 1 from WEHC FM 90.7, your college and community station at Emory and Henry College in Emory, Virginia. Wombats and Music is my chance each week to play for you songs I love and to occasionally throw in something odd, which I call a wombat. And about 2 weeks ago, my wombat was to play the fiddle for you. And I hate to say I apologize, but I do. it wasn't very good. And it was one of my friends at my church heard the show. And she said, "Oh, Harry, you know, I want you to keep having this show. I love this show. So don't do things that would turn off your listeners," implying that the fiddle was. And I listened to it, and it was pretty bad. It was okay in places. It wasn't all bad. And I did play my teacher playing the same tunes, and that I thought was great. In any case, I'm not going to play the fiddle tonight. And I want to tell you what happened. Because I felt sort of guilty and embarrassed about my fiddle playing, I thought about giving it up a little bit, not real seriously. And I also thought about, Harry, work on it. Make it better. Take those tunes you played and learn to play them right. And get the pitch better. So that's what I've done. I've used it as an incentive to go on and work harder at the fiddle. And maybe in a year or two, I'll come back and play it again and play it better. Well, time to start the show. And the first song on the show is "What Have They Done to the Rain" by Joan Baez. And I could talk for a long time about that, and I'll try not to. But this is probably the strongest environmental protest song I ever heard. It was recorded in the 60s. I was in college when Joan Baez hit the scene. She was a blast of fresh air. The cleanest, purest voice, the most straightforward accompaniment. She played her own guitar most of the time. And a message. She had a message. She was, her soul spoke. And this is one of the songs that reached out to me a lot. So this was in concern for the environment long before the current days of global warming and everything else. I'm not even sure The Silent Spring, a book that sort of was the big turning point for the environmental concern, had been published yet. But in any case, this is Joan Baez singing "What Have They Done to the Rain."
I'll sing you the gentlest protest song I know. It doesn't protest gently, but it sounds gentle. It's called "What Have They Done to the Rain." Just a little rain falling all around. The grass lifts its head to the heavenly sound. Just a little rain, just a little rain. What have they done to the rain? Just a gentle rain that falls for years, and the grass is gone, the boy disappears, and rain keeps falling like helpless tears. And what have they done to the rain? Just a as the breeze blows by, just a little breeze with some smoke in its eye. What have they done to the rain? Just a little boy standing in the rain, the gentle rain that falls for years. Disappears and rain keeps like helpless tears, and what have they done to the rain? And what have they done to the rain?
That was Joan Baez singing, What Have They Done to the Rain? Well, next up is Taylor Swift. Taylor Swift is probably, if not the most popular current pop singer, certainly. The Grammys Awards show was last week, and Taylor Swift won Best Album of the Year, and she's won an award at the Grammys, I think, every year for the last two or three years. Young woman, I don't think she's still in her 20s, stunningly beautiful, and just... did start off sort of mostly country music, and now she's done crossover into pop, and just a wonderful performer. I don't really understand her popularity. Her voice is not utterly unique. It's a nice voice, obviously, and wonderful control, but it isn't anything like, Joan Baez, or even Barbara Streisand, a number of other people I can think of, Judy Collins, who had better, I thought, more unique and interesting voices. But I think part of it is that if you're a top singer, you have a wonderful arranger and a band and orchestra, and they put together great music that fits the current, what people like. It doesn't happen to often to be what I like, so I'm not a big fan, but she has the ability to do wonderful songs. The one song I did hear by her a year or two ago that I did like a lot, enough to play on the show, is Love Story. This is by Taylor Swift. And it's, I think, the story of more or less of Romeo and Juliet. So this is Taylor Swift, one of the most. Taylor Swift is worth, I think, $300 million, something on that order, and growing fast. Just an incredible superstar, top of the game. So here she goes with Love Story.
Close my eyes and the flashback starts. I'm standing there on a balcony in summer air. See the lights, see the party, the ball gowns. See you make your way through the crowd and say hello. Little did I know that you take me. feeling so alone. I keep waiting for you, but you never come. Is this in my head? I don't know what to think. He knelt to the ground and pulled out a ring and said, marry me, Juliet, you never have to be alone. I love you and that's all I really know. I talked to your dad, go pick out a white dress. It's a love story, baby, just say yes.
That was Taylor Swift singing Love Story, something very recent. Now we're going to go back in time to around 1939. The next artist I'm going to play is Roy Acuff. Roy Acuff was one of the great country singers of that era. Born in 1903, died 1992. And I want to read you just a little bit about him. Hank Williams once said, he's the biggest singer this music ever knew. You booked him and you didn't worry about crowds. For drawing power in the South, it was Roy Acuff, then God. How about that? This particular song was played at one of the openings of the Grand Ole Opry, but it was recorded in 1939. It's called Wabash Cannonball, and it's one of the all-time classic country music songs. I've sung it. Everyone's sung it. It's just a great song. So this is Roy Acuff singing Wabash Cannonball.
From the great Atlantic Ocean to the wide Pacific shore, from the queen of flowing mountains to the south fell by the shore, she's mighty tall and handsome and known quite well by all. She's the combination on the Wabash Cannonball. She came down from Birmingham one cold December day. As she rolled into the station, you could hear all the people say, there's a girl from Tennessee, she's long and she's tall. She came down from Birmingham on the Wabash Cannonball. Eastern states are dandies, so the people always say, from New York to St. Louis and Chicago by the way, from the hills of Minnesota where the rippling waters fall, no changes can be taken on that Wabash Cannonball. Here's to Daddy Claxton, may his name forever stand and always be remembered round the courts of Alabama. His earthly race is over and the curtains round him fall. We'll carry him home to victory on the Wabash Cannonball. Listen to the jingle, as she glides along the woodland through the hills and by the shore. Hear the mighty rush of the engineer, that lonesome hobo's call. Hear traveling through the jungles on the Wabash Cannonball.
That was Roy Acuff singing Wabash Cannonball. And the instrument in there that's so prominent is a slide guitar, possibly a dobro, one of the instruments I'm trying to learn right now. It's a very interesting instrument because you can't play anything but major chords, but you can play any melody note, and that's that sliding sound, that doot-doot. Ah, well. Anyway, now we're something more recent. This is from Iris DeMent. I mentioned that I didn't think Taylor Swift had a particularly unique voice, probably a beautiful voice and great musical talent, but Iris DeMent has one of the most unique voices I've ever heard. If you hear a song by Iris DeMent, once you've heard her a few times, you will recognize her voice immediately. She was the 14th child of her father and the 8th child of her mother, and grew up in a musical family. Her mother had ambitions to go to Nashville. Iris realized them. She was raised in a Pentecostal home, but kind of broke away from all that. And this particular song, I think, is a wonderful statement of a religious open-mindedness, I guess I'd call it. And it's fairly close to my own perspective. And it's also a beautiful song. So this is Iris DeMent singing Let the Mystery Be.
Everybody is wondering what and where they all came from. Everybody is worrying about where they're gonna go when the whole thing's done. But no one knows for certain, and so it's all the same to me. I think I'll just let the mystery be. Some say once gone, you're gone forever, and some say you're gonna come back. Some say you rest in the arms of the Savior if in sinful ways you lack. Some say that they're coming back in a garden, bunch of carrots and little sweet peas. I think I'll just let the mystery be. Everybody is wondering what and where they all came from. Everybody is worrying about where they're gonna go. And I don't like the sound of that. I believe in love and to live my life accordingly. But I choose to let the mystery be. Everybody is wondering what and where they all came from. Everybody is worrying about where they're gonna go when the whole thing's done.
That was Iris DeMent singing Let the Mystery Be. Next song up is called Down in Arkansas, and I'd like to claim it as part of my musical roots, but it's probably not really. It is a song I like a lot. It's a song I've probably performed more than any other song, often with a penny whistle. It's a very simplistic song, very simple, plain thing. Anyway, my musical roots... my parents were Southern. My mother was from Abingdon, my father from Tampa. My father ended up in World War II becoming an Army officer and staying in for 30 years. And all of his closest friends that I knew were other Southern Army officers. And they didn't sing much. That was not a singing family. But some nights, late at night, especially around a campfire, if they were out in the backyard with a party, they would have a few beers or old fashions they liked. And sing. They would sing Army songs or Dixie or something. They didn't sing a lot, but I'm sure that influenced me. However, as I grew older, and especially when I moved to New York and got involved in folk music, I began to like a cappella songs a lot, and I like songs that were simple, and I like songs that had kind of a story to tell, either an important story or maybe a humorous story. And this is a humorous story. But so... Here is Down in Arkansas, and I'm not even sure who's singing it, a woman. And maybe sometime I'll sing my version of it, which is almost identical. I probably learned it from this one. Down in Arkansas.
I got a gal and her name is Bill, and she's down in Arkansas. I loved her once and I love her still, but she's down in Arkansas. Now she is cross-eyed, that's a fact, but she's down in Arkansas. She cries and the tears roll down her back, and she's down in Arkansas. Down in Arkansas, down in Arkansas, down in Arkansas. The only girl I'll ever love, and she's down in Arkansas. She was cutting wheat as the north wind blows, down in Arkansas. The sickle slipped and it cut off her nose. It was down in Arkansas. The doctor put it on, but upside down, down in Arkansas. Now when it rains, she almost drowns, down in Arkansas. Down in Arkansas, down in Arkansas, down in Arkansas. The only girl I'll ever love, and she's down in Arkansas. Some funny wedding happened the other day, down in Arkansas. A boy named Oates married a girl named Hay. It was down in Arkansas. The organ played in a minor key. It was down in Arkansas. They played What Will That Harvest Be? Down in Arkansas. Down in Arkansas, down in Arkansas, down in Arkansas. The only girl I'll ever love, and she's down in Arkansas.
That was Down in Arkansas. And I won't deny you a wombat. So I'm going to sing just a little bit of it so you can hear how my version goes and how exactly the same it is. And I'm not going to sing much, so it won't be like the fiddle thing. But it goes, I got a gal and her name is Bill, down in Arkansas. I loved her once and I love her still, down in Arkansas. She is cross-eyed, that's a fact, down in Arkansas. She cries and the tears run down her back, down in Arkansas. Well, next is a sort of a Lever Levy song. It's called Fancy Free, and it's by the Oak Ridge Boys. And it's a story of a man who's, and I've got several songs with the same theme, letting go of the love of his life. He's letting her go. There's a famous quote that says, if you love something, let it free, and if it may come back to you. There's some other versions of that quote. Anyway, this is an expression of that statement. And so he's in love with the woman whose name I gather is Fancy, but he knows that she wants to be free. So he does the right thing.
I'm setting Fancy free because she wants to go. She's tired of loving me, she told me so. I guess she don't know just how much she means to me. But along with all my dreams, I'm setting fancy free. Yes, I'm setting fancy free, even though I love her still. She'd be no good to me if I held her against her will. Even though that girl, she's the best part of my world. Along with all my dreams, I'm setting fancy free. Oh Lord, you just don't know how it hurts to say goodbye. She did her best to stay. I can't say she did not try. I just hope the road she takes leads back to me. So along with all my dreams, I'm setting fancy free. Yes, I'm setting fancy free, even though I love her still. She'd be no good to me if I held her against her will. Even though that girl, she's the best part of my world. Along with all my dreams, setting fancy free. Yes, I'm setting fancy free, even though I love her still. She'd be no good to me if I held her against her will. Even though that girl, she's the best part of my world. Along with all my dreams, I'm setting fancy free. Yes, I'm setting fancy free, even though I love her still. She'd be no good to me if I held.
That was Fancy Free by the Oak Ridge Boys. Well, next up is Simon and Garfunkel, one of my favorite groups or pairs, duos in my lifetime. Paul Simon is a musical genius, no question about it. Has done an incredible number of things in talent and rhythm and just on and on. Art Garfunkel is a brilliant man and a beautiful singer and a wonderful musician. Maybe not on the same level of talent as Paul Simon. And Paul Simon and he didn't get along. They got into conflicts and broke up. And Paul Simon resented, I think, that Art Garfunkel got equal billing with him. But Paul Simon, I think, didn't realize that was as brilliant as he was, especially in the arrangements and the rhythms and the harmonies, that he and Art Garfunkel took them to another level that Paul Simon could never reach on his own. And this song is an example of that. It's called Scarborough Fair. And you know the leave or leave-y thing. Here's a guy who says, she once was a true love of mine. So he has moved on for whatever the reason. So this is Scarborough Fair by Simon and Garfunkel.
Scarborough Fair, parsley, sage, rosemary, and thyme. Remember me to one who lives there. She once was a true love of mine.
to make me a kind of red shirt, a deep forest green, parsley, sage, rosemary, and thyme, and snow-crested plum, without no seam or need, and then grows the child of romance, and she'll be a true love of seems mine. Strands and polishes a fan, she'll be a true love of mine. Tell her to reap it in a sickle of blazing in scarlet battalion, parsley, sage, rosemary, and jewels born in the soldiers to kill, and gather.
That was Scarborough Fair by Simon and Garfunkel. Well, it's time for a break to tell you who we are and what we're doing. You're listening to Wombats and Music. And I'm your host, Harry Baia. I bring you Wombats and Music Monday nights at 7 and Saturdays at 1 on WEHC. That's the radio station from Emory and Henry College in Emory, Virginia. Also, if you'd like to hear some of my previous shows, you can contact me. I'll give you my non-Emory mailing address, harry@baia.net. So it's my first name, Harry, at my last name, baia.net. And I can tell you how to hear some previous shows. I want to talk, it's wombat time, I guess, because I want to philosophize a little bit. And I'm mainly focused on our society right now, the U.S., but this could apply to the world. Most people aren't wealthy. Put it another way, 50% of the population has below average wealth. that's one way of putting it. But also, about, I think, three quarters of the people in the United States may own their own homes, but these are not expensive homes, not $250,000 homes. They're cheaper. There are a lot of people living fairly meagerly, and not that they don't have many of them good lives, but the ones at the bottom don't, the ones who are really in poverty. So we're in a nation where wealth distribution is a bit skewed, and it's been, as you probably know, it's been getting really worse for the last 40 years. The upper 1% control, I think it's something on the order of three quarters of the wealth of the nation. So it's just not right by many standards. Well, anyway, the next song is I Don't Want Your Millions, Mister, by the Tao Seeger Band. And I think that, to me, I just want to throw, this is probably political, I don't know. I don't know how the human society should be organized at any point in its evolution. Clearly, ours is not perfect. Clearly, ISIS is not perfect. None of them are perfect. They all have significant. And how would I measure it? And I'm going to go back to a little story. I had a friend in college, Fred Schmidt. And freshman year, I was a Catholic. I'd been raised a Catholic. I'm now a Quaker and a Unitarian, but really a Quaker. But at that point, I was a Catholic and a believer, and Fred had his own religion. He called it Schmidtism. And Schmidtism said that the goal was to maximize Z in the equation X times Y equals Z. X was the quality of life, and Y was the quantity. And the goal of evolution was to maximize Z, the product of X times Y. Well, I disagreed with Fred. I said, Fred, wait a second. I said, what if you had an almost infinite number of little creatures with almost no consciousness? You'd have a very high Z. Now, if you compare that to, say, I don't know, pick a number, a billion billion conscious beings with a very high level of consciousness, perhaps much higher than we are, you might have a much lower Z, but but so what? And Fred, he just didn't care. He said, no, X times Y equals Z. He said, I want to maximize Z. I don't care if it's all ants, as long as you get the highest number. So we had a debate in our hands. And I understand. Well, now we are, the question that I would say, how do you measure the health of a society? And I would say it's basically the quality of life, the average quality of life, or the product of each, add their qualities together. And what determines that is very hard to say. I don't know that some dictatorships didn't have a very high quality of life for a larger percentage of the people than we have in a democracy. I don't know that. I want to think not. I want to think that the democracy, where people choose their own fates, to the extent they can, is better. But anyway, the next song is by Tal Seeger. Tal Seeger is Pete Seeger's grandson, and it expresses the hope of the little man. And I don't want your millions, mister. And what he's saying is, look, I don't need your Rolls Royce. I don't need your pleasure yacht. I don't need to have mansions in France and stuff. I just want a job and a decent life. And I think that's a valid statement. When a significant percentage of our population do not have the means of having a good life, when a significant percentage are in prison, we have the highest imprisonment rate percentage-wise of any nation in the world. We also have the highest total number of prisoners in prison as of any nation in the world. And that's not right. Bernie Sanders covers that one pretty well. And Hillary echoes his thoughts. That our prison, our structure is wrong if we have to put a greater percentage of people who are in prison. We, the nation of the free. So that's my political statement for the day. And here is Pete Seeger's grandson, Tal Seeger, singing his way of saying that.
I don't want your millions, mister. I don't want your diamond ring. All I want is the right to live, mister. Give me back my job again. I don't want your Rolls Royce, mister. I don't want your pleasure yacht. Food for my baby. Give to me my old job back. I know you have the land deed, mister. The money is in your name. But when my job again. 'Cause I don't want your millions, mister. Job again.
That was "I Don't Want Your Millions, Mister" by Tal Seeger, Pete Seeger's grandson. I thought Pete Seeger might have written that, but I looked it up. It was written by a guy named Jim Garland, who grew up in the coal mines of western Kentucky. So someone who lived the life of our northern neighbors here in Virginia and West Virginia. Now, I want to stretch my philosophy a bit. It's true that material comforts are important, and people who are impoverished don't have those things. But there's also a matter of attitude and how you feel about it. I know, or I think I know, I believe that there are people in the world who have very little in material wealth, who are very high in quality of life, satisfaction. And it has to do with how they feel about themselves, how they feel about each other, how they treat each other. And I think the next song catches some of that. This is "How Do You Transcend the Limitations of Your Physical World?" And I think you need a minimum level of comfort before you can do it. But this is what she does.
I'm gonna dance upon this earth. I'm gonna find some joy. Madness. I have always been a dreamer since I was a little girl. Someone's always trying to change me. That can't happen now. I'll do what I please. Oh, I'm gonna dance upon this earth. I'm gonna find some joy in all this madness. I'm gonna be the
That was Dance Upon the Earth by Amy Gallatin and Stillwaters. Anything with that much banjo and fiddle in it, I'm probably going to like. I always talk about the two distinctive styles of banjo. There's a three-finger style and the frailing style, and I love the frailing style more, but that was three-finger style and sounded great in there. So good stuff. Also, I forgot to mention Roy Acuff was a fiddler. I didn't know that until I looked him up today. But now we're moving on to something quite different. This is Randy Newman. Randy Newman, I'll read you what I could find out about him, just a little, there's a lot more about him, but it says here that, Randy Newman is an American singer, songwriter, arranger, composer, and pianist who is known for his distinctive voice, mordant, and often satirical pop songs, and for film scores. He's won Academy Awards and Grammys galore, and he and his sons are the subject of a fairly long article in Vanity Fair this month, kind of a tradition. Anyway, this song is one I ran to years ago. I'd never heard of Randy Newman. I think this is maybe 30 years ago. I used to get these sampler albums from Warner Brothers. I think I paid $1 a month, and they would mail me a vinyl CD with a double album, usually, with the latest picks. And occasionally they would go on to become number one hits, and many would go nowhere. This is one that went nowhere. I don't think many people ever heard this song. It's called Let's Burn Down the Cornfield. And it's a dark song. And Randy Newman was the name next to it, a name I'd never heard. Well, I didn't realize he'd done all these other things. In any case, this is an utterly unique creative experience, in my opinion, and also a courting song in its own dark, sinister way. So I bring you Randy Newman playing Let's Burn Down the Cornfields.
Let's burn down the cornfield. Let's burn down the cornfield. And we can listen to it burn. You hide behind the old tree. You hide behind the old tree. Stay out of danger till I return. Oh, it's so good on a cold night to have a fire burning warm and bright. You hide behind the old tree. You hide. Stay out of danger till I return.
Kind of dark, for a love song, wouldn't you say? Certainly seems that way to me. Anyway, that's Randy Newman singing Let's Burn Down the Cornfield. Now, here's a cheerier one. This is by Tim McGraw, one of my all-time favorite country singers. Sings a lot of happy songs, and this is one of them. Well, I guess it is. It's a love song, and I don't think he's being left yet. And he's in love with the woman he's singing to. It's called Just to See You Smile.
You always had an eye for things that glitter, but I was far from being made of gold. I don't know how, but I scraped up the money. I just never could quite tell you no. Just like when you were leaving Amarillo, take that new job in Tennessee, and I quit mine so we could be together. I can't forget the way you looked at me. Just to see you smile, I'd do anything that you wanted me to. When all is said and done, I never count the cost, it's worth all that's lost. Just to see you smile. You said time was all you really needed. I walked away and let you have your space. All leaving didn't hurt me near as badly as the tears I saw rolling down your face. And yesterday I knew just what you wanted when you came walking up to me with him. I told you that I was happy for you, and given the chance I'd like in. Just to see you smile, I'd do anything that you wanted me to. When all is said and done, I never count the cost, it's worth all that's lost. Just to see you smile.
Just to see you smile.
I'd do anything that you wanted me to. When all is said and done, I never count the cost, it's worth all that's lost. Just to see you smile.
Well, listening more closely, I realize that it is a Lever Levy song. The only difference is that he is so in love that he doesn't even mind that she's not going to be with him, as long as he can just see her occasionally and see her smile. And I've had some experiences like that. Not all loves have to be satisfied with ownership or possession or intimacy. Some of them, you just want to be there. Now, of course, in a family like your mother, that's the way it is. So he's in that space, an odd space to be. Well, you've been listening to Wombats and Music, and this is your host, Harry Baya, and we come to you Monday nights at 7 and Saturdays at 1 from WEHC FM 90.7 at Emory and Henry College. And I want to ask you to have a good week. That's wrong. I want to hope you have a good week, and I want to ask you to do something for me and do it with me, which I try to do every week and ask you to do every week, and that is to celebrate most joyously our being here at all. Goodbye.